Through January 13th, Davenport's Figge Art Museum is hosting an exhibition showcasing a well-known local artist. I'm Jacqueline Hallblum. Today, the Iowa Art Showcase heads to Davenport's Figge Museum to speak with Figge's assistant curator, Vanessa Sage. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Vanessa, before we hear more about your exhibit, which I've peeked at and is just fantastic, tell us a little bit about this painter, sculptor, Renaissance man, John Bloom.
So John Bloom was born in DeWitt, Iowa in 1906. He grew up there and he later moved to Davenport to attend school, followed by attending the Art Institute of Chicago.
And in the process, didn't he go to St. Ambrose College for a little bit too?
He did go to St. Ambrose College, and while he was here, he also took classes at the Tri-City Arts League, as well as the Davenport Municipal Art Gallery, the predecessor to the Figge.
And he had started drawing from even a very, very young age.
Yes, there are some drawings in the exhibition he did when he was about 12 years old. We also have a reproduction of one of his sketchbooks, and there's lots of like day books and sketchbooks. He would do doodles and memo pads, and he also did drawings mostly of animals that he entered into the fair that occurred in DeWitt.
And a lot of this happened over the time when America was like going through the Great Depression.
Yeah, so in 1932 or thereabouts is when he went to Stone City Art Colony, and a lot of people will talk about his artistic relationship with Grant Wood, and he went to the art colony that Grant Wood had founded, and that was right before they started all of the federal-funded arts programs, which John Bloom was also involved with as a form of economic relief for artists during the Great Depression.
And I had read somewhere that Grant Wood actually sort of gave him a internship at his school.
So what happened is John Bloom had just come out of the Art Institute. He had just graduated, and he met Grant Wood at an art competition which John Bloom had entered and Grant Wood was judging. And after that, they knew one another, and Grant Wood invited him to attend Stone City, but John had no funds to attend. So in exchange for keeping up the grounds and doing, you know, odd jobs around the colony, he could attend.
And while he was at the colony, he met someone who was very influential in his life as well.
Yes, he met his future wife, Isabel Scherer, was her maiden name. She would later become Isabel Bloom, whom everyone will know for the cement sculpture company.
And they became quite a team and were married for many, many years.
Yes, they were. And by all accounts, through newspaper articles I've read when they were both still living, it seems like they had a very supportive relationship with one another, especially in terms of the art they made. And I think that if you look at the art that she made and you compare it with especially some of the sculpture that he did and even the rounded figures in some of the paintings, you can see there's a dialogue between the two even in their art.
And also, John did work with Grant Wood. Following the colony, they did several projects together.
So Grant Wood designed the Iowa State University murals. When Tillage Begins, Other Arts Follow is the name of the series of murals. And in order to complete those, he had a team of younger artists he hired to help him with the drawing as well as the painting. And John Bloom was one of those artists.
Tell us about the mediums and the different styles and things of works that he did do during his long lifetime.
So you can see several different styles as well as subjects. A lot of the subjects that he focused on were local. Some of the more popular works, which are lithographs, he made multiples of, so those were widely distributed. And those are of the Davenport Riverfront, people walking along the river, and then also just scenes around Davenport as well as scenes that he recollected from his boyhood in DeWitt. So there were the lithographs as well as easel paintings, which deals with some of the same subjects. And we have the murals, which are quite large and depict farmers, as well as we have one called Cattle Loading, so more agricultural focus. In terms of style, if you walk through the exhibition, I think you see a couple different things. So there's two earlier works in the exhibition. One, it's from 1937, and it's called Picking Weeds. And for that one, it would have been after he met Grant Wood, but I think when you look at it, you can see some of the influence of artists like Cézanne, which was one of the artists whom Jean Blum admired, and the brushwork and the way that he composes the image. And then you get into, he has some more humorous subject matter, like in After Church. And if you look at that painting, you will see that some of the faces almost look caricature-like. They're more comic, especially the side view. And then you have the murals, the way that he renders those figures are a little bit more simplified. They don't have faces, and so they don't have that same comedic element. They're even different. So there's a couple different things within his paintings even that you can look at depending on the subject that he is depicting. And then you have his industrial and commercial design, which is a completely separate aspect of his artistic life. So as a profession, he did industrial and commercial design. So in the exhibition, we have some designs for like furnaces, and it's very exacting, and you can see how much of a draftsman he was when you're looking at those designs.
I saw a picture somewhere where he had designed a kitchen silverware drawer.
Yes, and that was actually for the Han Company, which used to be the Home O Nye's Company, and they designed kitchen cabinetry. And so he did renderings of the kitchen cabinets, different pull-out cabinets, as well as the silverware tray. And they're very rounded. They almost look like Art Deco, I think, when you look at them, with the repetitive line work and the rounded corners.
And what about his sculptures?
So his sculptures, a lot of them deal with animals. We have one example of that called Cat with Ball, which is in the exhibition. He used to stalk the family cats, he said, so he could capture their various poses down on paper. And then we also have some of his figural sculptures as well, some early from when he was at the Art Institute of Chicago, where you can see him kind of playing around with different styles. Those are a little bit more rough and blocky. As he got older and continued wood carving, they got more smooth and rounded and a little bit more stylized.
His sculpture was basically in wood then?
Yes, there are examples of direct stone carving that he did. So that's where you would find a stone and then kind of let that guide you into how to carve and what figure or form to make out of the stone. And he worked mostly in walnut.
So you put this illustrated booklet together, and tell us, what is your favorite part of curating this show or putting this all together?
So my favorite part specifically of this exhibition was getting to know the breadth of his work, because I was familiar with paintings that I'd seen growing up. I'm from Davenport, so I'm familiar with like Monkey Island, and then that was reproduced in a lithograph. And I was familiar with County Fair. So there's these paintings and these images that I'd seen before. I did not know that he had been an industrial and commercial designer. And some of his wood carvings were also unfamiliar to me. So it was really fun to discover just how varied his work was and look at the different things that he made.
Sounded like that throughout his life, there were several periods of time, like when he and Isabel had children, where he had to stop being an artist full-time and try to make some money.
Yes, and there was one quote from a newspaper that basically said that he had to think about financial matters because he'd gotten married, and so it was time to buckle down. And in reading some of the letters he exchanged at Iowa State University at their special collections, you can see that that happened to artists during the time. There were these letters that he had received from artists that he'd known at the Art Institute of Chicago, as well as artists that he'd known at Stone City, that were from like the 40s and 50s. And they were like, oh, well, now I've got a job in the bank and that's all going well, but I don't have any time to make my art. And so this narrative that Rue played over and over with a lot of people that were his peers. And he was fortunate enough to have a renaissance and get some recognition later in his life for his artwork.
Somewhere I read that after he retired, that actually he got more recognition than he had any time before.
Yes, in some newspaper articles, he said he had trouble selling his lithographs for $5 a piece back in the 40s. And then in the early 80s, he was kind of rediscovered by David Lasasso, who owned the Mississippi Fine Arts Gallery. And so John Bloom, he was kind of a character. He would walk really speedily, apparently, all through the village of East Davenport, and he was always very busy. And he came into the shop and would look around, and Mr. Lasasso encouraged him to bring in some lithographs. And that's kind of what restarted things. He started to make lithographs with the help of Les Bell, who would help him print and prepare the stones for the lithographs. And then he got some mural commissions. And this was all in the 80s. He was born in 1906, so he was quite a bit older when he experienced this resurgence. And he worked pretty steadily creating new things. And I think the latest work that we have in the exhibition is from 1991. And that's a lithograph. He passed away in 2002. I know there are some things after that, but that's the latest one we have in the exhibition.
Tell us then about the exhibition and what maybe some of your favorites are.
Well, there are over 60 works in the exhibition. They range from wood carvings to lithographs to easel paintings, as well as mural paintings in the industrial and commercial design. I think just for me, the industrial and commercial design are some of the more interesting because they're kind of unexpected, but you can still see connections between them and the other artwork. Some of the geometric handling, like in the cattle loading mural, the box cars look really similar in a way to the furnace renderings. And side by side, you can make those comparisons. And I think that's interesting. One of my favorite paintings is the cover of the booklet we produced, which is Summer Evening. And I love it so much because it kind of reminds me of that movie Picnic. Just gives this vibe with the lanterns, and it's all very cozy, and it's a fun party. And then there's also those subtle bits of humor. You can see there's like an empty liquor bottle by the base of the tree, and there's little things going on, a boy with an ice cream cone and his dog. So I like that one quite a bit. And there's so many things that perhaps used to happen, especially in DeWitt or maybe small towns, like those small town festivals or dances. And so I think that the trees and the whole environment gives that feeling of the Midwest summer evening.
So is there anything about John Bloom or about this exhibit that you would really like people to know?
Well, I would like them to come see it. I would like them to know that the booklets that we've produced are free, so you can come on in and grab one.
I've heard about this sculpture, so tell us a little bit about the sculpture that's down by the river.
So we have the lithograph version of the composition. It's called Watching the Ferry, and it's two little boys on a park bench pointing out at the river. And the bronze sculpture was done while John Bloom was still alive, so he was involved in the production of it. Another artist actually made it, but John was involved in its installation there. Then it's right down by the riverfront that he used to walk by all the time, and it's a great tribute.
So with this show that you have on John Bloom, Close to Home, are these mostly pictures and art things that you have from your own private collection here at the Figge?
Quite a number of the works. I'd say it's about 75% of things that are in the collection. We do have about 25% is from two different private collections. And we actually were generously donated some things by his son after John Bloom passed away. And those are some of the wood carvings, as well as a lot of the preparatory sketches that are included in the exhibition.
How can folks get some more information about this exhibit?
Well, they can visit our website, figgyartmuseum.org, and through that they'll know when we have our free Thursday evenings from 5 to 9 p.m. when the museum is open, and when they can come and see it.
To hear more from Vanessa about the Figge's John Bloom Show, go to our website at iowapublicradio.org as well. The exhibit runs through January 13th, which is really good. And thanks for today's conversation goes to Iowa Public Radio's Chris Fenton and Alexis Hahn. And also a big thank you to the Figge's assistant curator, Vanessa Sage, who curated the John Bloom Close to Home Show. And thanks so much, Vanessa, for taking time from your busy schedule today to talk to us.
All right, thank you.